Scripture reading this morning is Exodus chapter 8, verses 8 through 14, and chapter 2, 23 through 25. Now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And he said to his people, "Behold, the people of Israel are too many and too mighty for us. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply, and if war befalls us, they join our enemies and fight against us and escape from our land." Therefore they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with heavy burdens, and they built for Pharaoh store cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied, and the more they spread abroad. And the Egyptians were in dread of the people of Israel. So they made the people of Israel serve with rigor, and made their lives bitter with hard service, in mortar and brick, and in all kinds of work in the field. And all their work they made them serve with rigor. In the course of those many days, the king of Egypt died, and the people of Israel groaned under their bondage and cried out for help. And the cry under bondage came up to God, and God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and Jacob. And God saw the people of Israel, and God knew their condition. This ends the scripture reading.
Thank you, Larry. I don't know if you know this, but there's a lot of historical landmarks in Michigan. And one of the ones that I learned about recently is a place called the Dr. Nathan Thomas House. Has anybody ever heard of the Dr. Nathan Thomas House? Okay. So this is one of the few times nobody knows. All right. So this place is just a little bit south of Kalamazoo. And it was established in the 1800s by, ironically enough, a man named Dr. Nathan Thomas. And he was a Quaker who had come up from down south and established a residence and a practice in just south of Kalamazoo. And he was a passionate abolitionist. And for those of you who are church people with your crazy words. Not a church word, actually. It was somebody who, during the time pre-Civil War, who was adamantly against slavery. The abolitionists would help escape slaves, and they would lobby against slavery in Washington and whatever they could do in Lansing in this particular case. And so Dr. Nathan Thomas was one of the last stops on what was known as the Underground Railroad. Are you familiar with the Underground Railroad? That story where if a slave escaped from the South, they would come up North and they would be put into this quote-unquote railroad, and they would move from one location to another, hiding, trying to be safe, and they were very much the refugees of the day. You know, we talk about having a refugee crisis today, and what do we do about that? And they were the refugees of the day, running from slavery, running to freedom. And one of the things that they needed was medical care, and Dr. Nathan Thomas treated them. And his wife estimated that over the course of 20 years, they probably helped somewhere between 1,000 to 1,500 escaped slaves. Now, it wasn't just these acts of mercy that he did, but he also became politically active at the state level. The abolitionists actually had their own ticket. And that was something that he saw. On the one hand, there were issues of mercy, where there were actual people that were suffering. He was a doctor, he could help, and so he did so. And on the other hand, there were issues of justice, and the institution of slavery itself was wrong. And so he worked in the political sphere to try to end it. Today we read about the enslavement of the people of Israel in Egypt. And different forms of slavery, but at the end of the day, they were both enslaved. They were both put under whips. They were both threatened, both the people of Israel and the largely African-American community suffered under slavery. And if you look at the people, Jewish people today still, part of their identity is this escape. This book of Exodus is part of their identity. And I believe that we as Americans are still dealing with the institution of slavery being legal in our nation. And today, we still have illegal slavery going on. This idea of treating a human being as a commodity has ongoing ramifications generations later. Now, we also have what's known as spiritual slavery. And that is what we're going to be talking about today. But I wanted to start by talking about how our nation and in the Bible, this idea of being free from slavery, to be free, is a huge theme. And it's something that we need to be keeping in mind and trying to embrace what freedom is and what comes along with freedom. And so we're going to be doing that over the next 6 weeks or so as we examine the book of Exodus. Now, we have, there we go. We've got chains. And as we look at what chains are, I remember my first day here, my first day in the office of Ionia First United Methodist Church. And if those of you who have been in the pastor's office downstairs, you know that it's sort of half underground, right? It's half underground. And I was putting my books away, and I heard this commotion outside of my window. And I looked out, and there was a brown pair of pants walking past, and then a whole bunch of orange pairs of pants walking past. And the orange pairs of pants had shackles on their legs. They are not going anywhere, except for where the brown pair of pants wants to take them. I'm not saying that's unjust. I'm just saying shackles and chains limit freedom in a big way. And you and I might have our freedom limited. That might come in the form of a bad relationship, whether that's a marriage relationship or a friendship relationship or an employment situation. It might be fear. A year ago, we started a series exclusively looking at fear. And I'm convinced that there are two things from which we can make decisions in life, fear and love. And maybe we are bound by fear. Maybe it's an addiction. Alcohol, drugs, pornography, some other form of addiction that we compulsively reach out for something. We compulsively grab on and we can't stop. We can't stop. Or maybe there's some other form of secret sin that you know about, that behind closed doors you indulge in, but it's something that keeps us back. It keeps us from knowing what full freedom in Christ really is. And so I ask today the question, what are your chains? What are the things that hold you back from a completely sold-out relationship with God? What are those things that hold you back? Anything that keeps us from experiencing the full goodness of God might be a chain. Maybe it is that you have suffered from this thing that many, many Christians suffer from. And that is this idea that we need to earn our salvation. And I know I go through phases of this where I feel like I have to work and work and work to please God. I don't know if any of you have ever felt that way too. where the chain is that we decide to not embrace God's grace. It's a subtle thing, but God's grace is a gift. We can't earn it. But we tell ourselves that we need to do more and more and work harder and harder just to earn God's grace. Instead of responding to God's grace by listening to God's call in our lives. And there's a very different attitude. There's a very different place that we come from when we're doing God's work, if we're trying to earn our salvation rather than respond to God's grace. What are the chains that bind you today? And my next question is this: what are your whips? Slavery comes with pain. And we read about that in the book of Exodus today, and we can see historically the whips of the South and those plantation owners. What are the whips? What are the things that go along with those chains? Because those chains are not the only thing that keep us back. That the pain that comes with those chains. What are those whips? And if it's an addiction, maybe that plays out in a lost job or a lost relationship. Or if it's literally a bad relationship, maybe there's abuse going on or neglect. Maybe it's that fear that we talked about and the missed opportunities that are causing the pain in your life. That secret sin makes it difficult to pray. Have you ever had that time in your life where you know you've done something wrong or you've said something wrong or not done something and it's time to pray and you feel like there's this spiritual wall there? Have you experienced that? That spiritual wall where it's difficult to pray because you're holding on to a secret sin in your life. Or this earned salvation thing that we talked about, where you're working and working and working and you don't feel the grace of God, you don't feel the mercy or the hope, the love of God, because it's just a really long spiritual to-do list. What are your chains? What are your whips? What are the things that are holding you back, and what are the things that are causing the pain in your life? How are those two things related for you? What are those things? And my last question, really simply for you today, is this. Will you pray for deliverance? Sometimes we get caught up in addressing the problem that we forget to pray. Sometimes we get so caught up in what it is that we're trying to do, that we forget to lift our problems to God. Sometimes we get overwhelmed with so much that we get paralyzed. Have you ever felt that way? Where there's a dozen things that are eating at you and you don't know where to start. Will you start with prayer? Will you start with crying out to God? Will you start with prayers for yourself and for your family? Will you start with prayers for your church and for your community? Will you pray for deliverance from the things that bind us? Will you pray for deliverance from those whips that are causing the pain? That's my challenge for you today. In the course of this week, over the next 7 days, I want you to take time each day to pray for yourself, for your family, for your place of employment, for your church, for your community. Pray for deliverance. We need to call out to God too. We need to call out to God to strip away those chains, to still those whips, to bring us back into a full and loving relationship with Him. Today should be the marking of the beginning of a time of prayer. And I invite you into that now. Holy and loving God, who is the God of deliverance, who is the God of peace, who is the God of true freedom. Today we acknowledge to you the slavery of the past. We acknowledge to you that that is a part of our history, whether we were there for it or not. And so, God, we pray for those who have been impacted by literal slavery and the heritage that is passed down from generation to generation. We pray for ourselves as we can be caught in spiritual slavery, secret sins, or things that hold us back from you. God, we pray for any who are caught in fear. We pray for any who are caught in the trap of believing that we need to earn our own salvation. We pray for those who are caught in addiction to whatever that compulsion is, where we think we're reaching out for what we need, but we are in fact reaching out for the poison that destroys us and the relationships that we have. God, we pray for deliverance today. We pray for our church and the things that bind us, the conflicts that we have within us. We pray for deliverance. We pray for the wider church and the conflict that exists there. We pray that your word and your holiness would reign. God, we pray for our country, especially during this election season where so many people are sniping at each other. And we seem like we have to vote against rather than vote for. We pray for peace. We pray that we would be delivered. God, some of these tasks, some of these challenges seem impossible. But we know that all things are possible through you. And so in this moment, we recognize that we are not in control, that we are your servants, and that anything that we do will only be effective through your power. Release those chains, God. Bring us back into relationship with you and one another. Release the chains so that all might know of your glory. In your name we pray. Amen.